You know, I really thought the past month and a half was going to be relaxing.
Yeah, same. I was looking forward to it.
That was the idea going into what we thought was going to be, you know, a nice bit of time off from December, the mid of December.
I had all this free time, and, you know, it just meant I could scroll more.
Yeah. It sure did. Hey, I'm really glad that we canceled Cry January because, as I predicted, we weren't going to need it.
Nope.
We sure weren't going to need it. And the last thing we would have needed is to play a game like Heavy Rain.
I don't know. Heavy Rain might have... I might put Heavy Rain back on the list at some point.
Heavy Rain is a bit camp, I guess, but... Is it? I don't know the time. Okay. Well... Before we get too specific with it, we should probably... Oh, you hear that?
The drums?
That means it's time to get started. This week on Light Gaming, we're talking about everything we did over the winter break. We're excited to get that to you.
Then in the back half of our show, we'll be ranking our favorite Olympic pole vaulters.
We will not be doing that. That's outrageous. But we will be doing a little Light Gaming. Welcome, everyone, to Light Gaming. This is the lighthearted podcast about light games. Newly rebranded podcast featuring, still, your hosts of Light. I am your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I'm joined, of course, by the effervescent, the lovely, the charming, the punctual host of Light, co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock.
Look, I'm sorry. I had to walk from across this highway.
Oh, that wasn't a diss. I didn't actually know that you weren't on time.
Hey, we're back, everyone.
We are back after the winter break. On the feed, we did hint that things were going to change, but we didn't really post in advance too much outside of our Discord of the things we wanted to do. So today, we're going to go over some of the reasons for our changes, some of the things you can expect from this show in the year 2025. And of course, talk about the games that we got up to a little bit over our winter break while we had extra time to work on it. But I'm really happy with the result of what we've got so far. It took us a lot of time. We really needed that month.
Oh yeah, sure. We were some of the stuff came in hot.
Mm-hmm. Hammer things out. So let's get into explaining what Light Gaming is to you guys. So Light Gaming is going to be a show. We're kind of niching down again, but in kind of the opposite direction of how we started. We are going to be playing games that are either quick to complete or quick to really understand, get a grip on, quick to talk about, things that you could play for a little bit of light gaming, things that aren't massive MMORPGs that take up 90 to 120 hours, or even like 60, or maybe 30. 30 is probably going to be pushing.
30 is in the high end.
30 is still in the high end. But we will still talk about things like, retro games, indie games, maybe some the odd roguelike there if it's quick enough. Things that are that we're able to really digest within a week and talk to you guys completely because we talked, the two of us, and there were two episode types that we really liked. And then one of those episode types was much more feasible to sustain ourselves on. So we did like talking about those big games, the Final Fantasy VIII and stuff. But it was a lot more disastrous when things went wrong in the middle of the month or things like that. And also just two-hour episodes were rough. They were rough on the old editing me.
Yeah, and like part of what I'm excited for here is, like you alluded to, when I looked back at last year and I thought about what episodes I thought were our best. I thought about episodes like I Was a Teenage Exocolonist,
yes,
or Signalis, mm-hmm, where like we were both able to complete the thing and see it through, which meant that we could just talk about what it was, right? We did not need to as opposed to I think some of our weaker episodes were the ones where we just kind of had these vague impressions. And I think that being able to just sort of consider the game as an object and talk about it in its entirety is going to, I think, make for some really good discussions.
It's also, I totally agree. I also want to lump even the games we weren't obsessed with, were a lot of fun to record episodes on, like Quiet on Set.
Sure. Yeah, that we understood pretty quickly.
So I think hopefully the energy between us, obviously none of the hosting or anything has changed. We're just sort of now making a change to our branding, our imaging. You probably saw your feed was updated last week. And again, we posted in the Discord of the changes and things like that. So we're always there if you want questions. We also have, I think, other social medias set up under Light Gaming at this point. So feel free to follow us on Blue Sky, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Yes, I did set the YouTube up. That one took the most because I had to do a whole Gmail account. Whatever. Anyway, whoa, it's almost like I've never podcasted before in my life. People really want to hear us talk about Gmail.
We're not there yet. eventually, we'll have a fan base who will enjoy hearing that. But
Maybe.
One other thing I think is also worth talking about here is because of the nature of how the show is shifting, there's probably going to be more spoiler talk this year.
100%.
And I think that, like, we're going to make a case-by-case determination. Like, sometimes if a game is really old, you might just talk spoilers out of the gate. Sometimes if a game is fairly recent, we'll do the whole front half, back half thing where we split it off. Sometimes if a game is super new, we might actually still kind of, like, just say, hey, let's not talk about it yet. But in general, if you see a title of a game on, like, your podcast feed, you can assume that we're going to be going pretty in-depth on story stuff just as much as we are mechanics and gameplay.
I totally agree, and I'm really excited to do that. Don't worry, there will still be silly comedy bits, segments, quizzes, character interviews, things like that with our this format. And again, like I said last year, hopefully more of that stuff, just because we're not going to be playing a massive RPG at any given time. We had planned on continuing to play Final Fantasy XIV after Dawn Trail came out, after that first year break, but man, that didn't work for us.
No, I really enjoyed my time with Final Fantasy XIV. I am glad especially that we made this show around it, because it made it really engaging for me. I don't know that I need to go back and pick that up again.
Not for a little while. Not until there's a bit more meat on those bones over there, I don't think. Or maybe not. I'm not sure. Also, continue to expect Nancy Drew games. Those rock.
Oh, yes. I am working on a segment idea of my own for Nancy Drew episodes that I should
have. Oh, really? Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
I just have a name. I don't know what the actual segment itself is yet.
I think that's perfect. Is that top-down design?
Yeah, sure.
Or is that bottom-up? No, I think it's top-down. Where you just kind of like know what it's called and you're going to design around it. Let's go with that. Is there anything else you want to address brand feed podcast-wise before we talk about our lovely break?
No, I think that covers it.
Well, I played a whole host of video games, and to get the obvious one out of the way, yes, I did continue my Balatro pilgrimage. I am working on Completionist Plus now, like I said I wouldn't. Don't worry about it. It's fun. It's light gaming because I'm at the point where I just do a run and then close it.
I just got Balatro on my phone because Apple Arcade. So we're going to see how that goes.
Uh-oh, yes. I didn't get into Sims 4 that much. I got a couple of the DLCs. Not great. And I figure I could just go through my purchase history here in the Steam Winter Sale, because it was the perfect time to start catching up on some of the things I hadn't gotten to in 2024. And boy, did I get to some goodies. The first goodie I got into... Tactical Breach Wizards.
Yes, I've heard you talk about this a bit. I also kind of want to pick this up at some point.
Tactical Breach Wizards. It is a strategy RPG, the XCOM, Final Fantasy Tactics, like whatever, positioning-based RPG, where you are, as it says on the tin, a bunch of militarized wizards on an operation to interfere with some international politics in a very interestingly crafted world, very whip-smart dialogue, and satisfying gameplay. Really, really enjoyable.
I hear you can get like crazy with that game, right? Like, isn't the whole point to like chain stuff together into these
Yeah, that's kind of the deal. I don't know. I didn't get crazy with it, but there's plenty of puzzles there if you're really into completing that kind of thing. I also got into Mouthwashing.
Yes. Oh, you played Mouthwashing?
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. Man, I had that on our list, but I guess you already played it.
I did play Mouthwashing.
Maybe I'll just play it and we'll just talk about it anyway. But,
oh my God.
Wow. Yeah, I hear that game is great.
Oh, it's certainly affecting, and that's all I'm going to say about it. It's a horror game, probably about 3 hours to complete. Would have been a great episode, but we hadn't finalized our brand yet, so I played it.
Whoops.
No, there's plenty more, including this game, Crow Country.
Yeah, I've heard a little bit. I don't know much about
this. Yes, this was a sort of PS1 era inspired Resident Evil-like survival horror. You have your gun, you find bullets, and you have weird tank controls to shoot them, and it's got these kind of rendered 3D graphics with an intentional pixelation thing.
Of course, it's Signalis-like.
Yeah, kind of, but less less impactful and less less artistic, mm-hmm. I think, but just like a lot more gamey, like more of a gamer's game, and not so much
like a
moving art piece, like a harrowing art piece. There's a couple of good jump scares in it, otherwise really, really pleasant game, with good story. And the biggest bulk of my gaming was spent playing two bigger RPGs that we won't do too much on, because that's again not our brand. But I did play Yakuza Like a Dragon and Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
I cannot believe you played these back to back.
I had to. Well, how could I not? After I finished Like a Dragon, I was like, well, I need to know what happens next.
Aren't they both like 70 hours long?
I did not spend 70 hours on Like a Dragon. I spent 35 hours on
okay,
it because
okay,
I did not
okay.
do all the side content because I knew Infinite Wealth was coming.
Okay. Well, I mean, that makes it easier for me to probably go back. I still want to do Like a Dragon just on
yes,
my own. I love those games.
And maybe I should be spending more time talking about these, but I'm going to just be a little... My clips. So yeah,
get into it a little bit.
Why don't we talk about what they are? So if you're not familiar with the Yakuza series, they are a series of video games by Sega. They rotate around this protagonist Kazuma Kiryu, who is entrenched in the Yakuza, in a fictionalized version of the Yakuza in Japan, taking place in fictionalized versions of. Regions in Japan, a la Grand Theft Auto, taking place in fictionalized.
Yes, good
USA.
Comparison.
And this is a long running franchise, and each one of the games, except for Zero, like takes place in the year that it's like coming out, or maybe the year before. And then Zero is, of course, a prequel that takes place in like the 90s, which is really cool. I tried to play Yakuza Zero, but I had a horrible audio issue on the PC port that I just couldn't.
Oh, just
get
couldn't
past.
Get through it.
But Yakuza Like a Dragon now is the technically like the seventh in the franchise. It's like Yakuza 0
yes,
through 6.
Not including of the spinoffs.
It's like Final Fantasy 7, right? It's got the 7 after it, so you could call it Yakuza 7. But it redefines the previously beat-em-up version of the game into a turn-based RPG. Because the protagonist is a psychopath. Everyone in that game is kind of a psychopath, but he's obsessed with Dragon Quest, so much so that it warps his vision of reality into a turn-based RPG. So Yakuza Like a Dragon, it follows his story. His name is Ichiban Kasuga, and Kazuma Kiryu is MIA at the end of Yakuza 6, basically due to events there. And then Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth is the sequel to it that takes place in Honolulu.
Yes.
And this time it just takes place in real-ass Honolulu. This one, they didn't bother fictionalizing this one. I've never been to Honolulu, but I've seen the footage. I've seen video of it. I'm like, well,
sure, that's the place.
I don't want to go there now, but we're not supposed to. So, uh-oh. Oh, well. We could play Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth. It's a very, very, very interesting... journey across those two games. I would say if I were to compare the two, so you have first to talk mechanics of the game. You do have your turn-based job system. You accrue a party over the course of your journey, and the tone is very similar to a Stephen Chow movie of these. If you've seen Kung Fu Hustle,
yes.
If you've seen
okay,
Kung
that's
Fu,
a good comparison.
Or Shaolin Soccer. It whiplashes you between. Gravely serious and slapstick comedy, but very, very quickly. And it's pretty relentless in that regard.
It isn't like the other games. You emerge from a cutscene in which, like, you know, mm-hmm. something incredibly dramatic happens, a reveal about a character's past, and then some guy in the street is like, I don't know how to ask my girlfriend out. Can you give me some advice?
Right. And then in this game, you put on a chef's hat and beat the girlfriend. up or something until she sees reason or some ridiculous thing, or it very much is a, both of these games are games of two natures. One is that they very effectively demonstrate very serious topics of grief, of prison, of illness, and in those very same hand, with the very same hand, can make light of another series of very serious topics like homelessness and culture shock and just again violence, I guess, just generally violence.
I think it's worth saying the Yakuza games as a whole are better than you expect, and frankly better than a lot of video games at just like being concerned with people who have to live on the margins, people who, like, you know, are working class, people who have gone through incarceration or who suffer from like substance abuse. Like they tend to like take a bit more of like letting characters like that be real actors in their own stories who have stuff going on.
Yeah, and then in the same breath, it's your next random encounter is going to be against three people whose job names are Hungry, Hungry, Homeless.
Yeah.
Like, it paints a very tender portrait and then puts horse shit all over it. Like it does. It's so you're gonna have to take the bad with the good when it comes to these games. And I think that both of them, I think Yakuza Like a Dragon, the first one, is a worse game. It's got some rough around the edges. The menus are a little outdated. This is their first time making an RPG with the fast travel map and things like that, and the fast travel is really annoying. Just like everything feels like there's just like a little bit too much work to access. But the story is really, really, the main story is really, really good. If you just sort of focus on it and don't get, or if you don't want to spend too much time on it, you can do the main story and it's pretty good. It's really good. I was definitely tearing up at the ending of like Yakuza Like a Dragon. And Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth kind of flips the script on it. Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth is a much better game with a much sloppier story.
Ah, that's a shame.
I think it's really interesting. They swung for the fences and didn't quite stick the landing most of the time. I wouldn't say it's bad, but it is much sloppier. But I spent way more time in Infinite Wealth because it is a much better game. Like it is a gamer's game. Because I wasn't as invested in the main story, I was much more willing to do all the side content stuff, the built-in Animal Crossing, crazy taxi, and Pokemon subgames that are in there. So that's what I that was my break. I played both of those games. They're among many others, and I really enjoyed myself. But I'm excited to continue gaming on a much smaller scale. How about you? What was your break like?
My gaming break was primarily two games. The first of which was, I alluded to this on our Heavens Awards, but I did play through Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, the new title from Machine Games.
No, I'm not going to ask you to spoil that game, but I've heard some things about the ending.
It's... The back third of the game is the weakest.
Yeah.
It doesn't really stick to the land. Here's
a
the thing.
A little Larian issue with that? Back third of the game?
I am not going to speculate too much here, but I am going to draw a couple of dots. Machine Games, most famous for the Wolfenstein reboot games, Wolfenstein the New Order and Wolfenstein the New Colossus, which came out last decade, like almost 8 years ago at this point. Games that were, I think, really notable at the time for having really kind of like sharp world building and good character writing and like fun propulsive plotting, which is not what you expected from a Wolfenstein game. Mm-hmm. And also like really frantic gunplay that like not everyone liked, but I was really into. I like everything about those games. I like how they control. I like the story stuff, everything. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle is a game made by Machine Games, but it's based on a story treatment by Todd Howard. Todd Howard came up with the premise and like the outline for the story, is my understanding, pitched it to Microsoft, got the green light, and got Machine Games on the project. Which, I will say that I think that the overall plot of the game does not exactly work, even by Indiana Jones standards. It's so much of a MacGuffin hunt. Like, Indiana Jones is the MacGuffin genre, and even still, it's like, you gotta go here and get this thing. But what it does have is it's got really sparkling character writing. And in particular, it's got a thing that I don't really see games pull off that well. I know that, like, people think the Naughty Dog games do this really well. sometimes, but it's got really good chemistry between a male and a female co-lead. It's got Indiana Jones, and it's got this reporter character who comes in, and the two of them get to have fun, charming, period-appropriate banter, and she gets to be kind of, you know, she gets to get the better of him sometimes, and the two of them get to get into hijinks together. And it's like, playing this game is in many ways just having fun sort of being Indiana Jones, and I feel terrible that I've forgotten her name. It is...
Is it Jenna Talia? Is it Lisa House?
Gina. Gina Lombardi.
Gina Lombardi. Well, that's less interesting than I was expecting.
Anyway, so like the game is really anchored by their relationship, and she comes in.
Oh, I'm thinking
like,
of Austin Powers.
Yes, that's a different franchise. Which is good because the gameplay is a little bit of a mixed bag.
Oh.
It's kind of doing almost like an immersive sim type thing or a Hitman type thing where it's really more of a stealth game. It drops you into these, like the first one, for example, is like, it's the Vatican, right? And so you're dropped into the Vatican and you spend a lot of time basically like, you know, using your whip to climb up walls sneak around behind the scenes.
I guess stealth makes sense, right? Because he's not Spider-Man.
He's not Spider-Man.
He doesn't have superpowers.
And I think it's an interesting choice, especially when like the obvious angle of like going more like an Uncharted is like right there. Like Uncharted is just the Indiana Jones franchise. And instead they went with something that involves a lot more of kind of like walking around, picking up artifacts and looking at them, discovering lots of cool side quests that have like weird puzzles that you have to solve and everything. But weirdly, people didn't like the Wolfenstein gunplay. I like the Wolfenstein gunplay. Neither of those things is relevant here. There's not really a developed combat system. Mostly you punch dudes or whack them with stuff or hit them with your whip. And so a lot of times when the situation does turn hot or when you do have to like actually start beating up on some Nazis or some Italian black shirts or whatever, it's not always like the most engaging to be fighting people in this game in a way that like that just... It made especially, I think, the back third of the game, like the last area and everything else, just a little bit of a slog in a way where like the Vatican area, especially, I was in love with. I was just wandering around. I was like, wow, this is so atmospheric. I'm finding so many cool things. I'm engaging with all these cool systems. And then, yeah, just like I think each area is a little bit weaker than the last one. Aww. And then, yeah, like I still really, really enjoyed the game, but like... But it's the kind of thing where, like, man, if they had like 6 more months, could they have tightened some of this stuff up or rethought some of the stuff early on in like the process or who knows? But anyway, I still recommend it, especially because it's on Game Pass.
Tell me about the dogs. I heard that there were infinite dogs or immortal dogs.
Oh yeah, you can't kill the dogs.
You can't kill the dogs, but also the dogs are really frustrating.
They can be frustrating. You crack your whip at them and they get spooked and they run off, which is like,
what's the point? Just don't put the dogs in the game if you're not going to commit to hitting the dogs. You're not going to... I mean, why are they even there?
They're very good about letting you kill Nazis, but they don't want you to kill Nazi dogs. Apparently, like,
they're right about that. They don't want you to... Will you kill the Nazis? Don't you just punch them?
You can. I mean, you can shoot them. I barely ever used a gun in that game, but you can do it.
I didn't know Indy used a gun. Well, of course he does the knife and gun thing.
In the infamous scene where he shoots that guy.
Okay, I didn't know he used the gun. Really? It's like the one thing I knew about this guy, and he doesn't like snakes.
I do, honestly, after playing this game for a bit, I went back and watched the first Indiana Jones movie being like, oh man, am I about to enter like my Indiana Jones phase? Am I going to reappraise these movies?
No.
And I'm like, no, actually, I think this game... Like,
the game's, I heard, better than the movie.
In some respects, yeah. The cutscenes are so good. Mm-hmm.
Troy Baker's performance.
Yeah, Troy Baker's performance as young Harrison Ford is... imperceptible. It is so good.
Very cool. Very cool idea. Glad that exists.
Glad it got made. In terms of like studios that I was excited, studios that I love that are picking up unusual franchises, this is the one that I had my eye on. The other one is I'm really curious what IO Studios, who make the Hitman games, they're doing the next James Bond 007 game. And I'm like, what is that going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first game I played over break.
Okay.
And the second game I played was called Nine Souls. Have we brought this up before?
You have brought this up. Oh, you brought it up to us. You brought it up for November. I remember this. I know it's like a Hollow Knight-esque game, Metroidvania kind of Souls sort of thing, with a strong emphasis on parries mechanics.
Basically, like, it's almost like if Hollow Knight's kind of a Dark Souls, then Nine Souls is sort of a Sekiro.
Yeah.
In that, like, both, like, it trades some of the non-linearity. It's got big open areas you explore, but you're not really doing the Metroidvania thing that much.
Mm.
But also, it's way more combat-focused, and it's way more parry-focused, and it's way more about getting, like, the timing down in combat and mastering these really complex boss encounters and stuff.
We have a friend named Perry.
We do have a friend named Perry.
Do you think this game would be really focused on him?
You know,
I think so. I think it would. It's a guy. He's got fabulous hair.
He's a fabulous.
It's hard. It's hard not to focus.
No one
on
in this game has hair that matches his. Quite honestly,
that's really unfortunate. They probably need one more Perry in this game, and it should probably be him. Perry with the fabulous hair.
I'll see if we can get the modding scene on it. It's got a good community.
That sounds really great. And continue telling me about the premise and setting of this game.
Well, I mean, the main thing that's notable about it is it's from the studio that made Detention, that horror game we played last
year. Right. What a leap.
Yeah, which they also, in between, they made another horror game called Devotion, which I might say we play this year. But
sure.
Yeah, and then they made this super, like, tightly performing like action platformer. And so the premise of this game basically is you play a little cat man named Yi, and when you wake up in a place called Peach Blossom Village, which is full of humans who live like a simplistic, they live a lifestyle kind of like the ancient era in Secret of Evermore. Like, it's sort of like,
oh,
that kind of, like, you know, everyone's got like grass huts and like they eat gourds and stuff like that.
Beautiful.
And Yi appears to be friends with some of the people in the town, especially this one boy. And it's like, why is he a cat person? But they're all people. We're not sure yet. And then the village does their big seasonal ritual, and the big machine comes out of the ground, and it picks people up and cuts their heads off and transports them underground.
Oh,
and
fabulous.
And the villagers believe that this is how you reach heaven or something like that. Mm. It's like, hey, this is it. I've been selected. And it's obvious, like, no, you're being harvested.
It's like the movie The Island with Ewan McGregor. And was that with ScarJo as well?
Anyway, point being, it emerges that what's happening is that this village is actually on a holodeck on a giant space station that was built by Yi's people, who are refugees from a different planet. I'm not going to go too much into it, but they've got stuff going on. They need all of these human villages so that they can harvest the human heads for some reason.
It's exactly like The Island with Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson.
Wait, really?
Yes! Did you not see this shitty movie?
But I was like 11. I don't know. I don't remember the plot.
Nah, Ewan McGregor, like, they're clones from rich people. Like,
oh,
they're
okay.
This thing, and the clones
it's
the rich
never
people,
let
like,
me go. Okay,
like,
it's
yeah, the real guy
yeah.
was like, I drank too much, so I made you a clone to give me a liver that I'm going to have for later. And then he's like, fuck that. Throws him out a window or something.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay. It's a lot like that. Anyway, you end up like, it's called Nine Souls because there are 10 of these figures known as souls, and Yi is one of them, and so you're going to go out and you're going to kill the other 9 in order to do some stuff that is going to become clear over the course of the game, why Yi is really pissed off and why he wants to get revenge on the other 9 council members, basically, who were in charge of running the space station, which is also in rough shape. Things have not been going well in the space station. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, you know, lots of cool environment designs. Lots of, like, the zones are all very distinct. They often have different gimmicks going on in them. The pace of unlocking abilities is pretty good. It's a good sign that you don't get a double jump until near the end of the game, because they've got lots of other interesting stuff for you to get up until that point. And just like a really good, really fast, fluid combat system, where, like, the main thing you're doing is every time you pull off a parry, you are building up a charge, and then you can do a dash attack that throws like a magic talisman on an enemy and detonate all of those charges at once to, like, you know, inflict a chunk of damage. And so you're really falling into this rhythm of, like, parry, 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 dash attack, explosion, parry, 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 dash attack, explosion. Like, you're kind of juggling back and forth between needing to actually engage in the parry to build up the resources in the fight that you need to start doing significant damage.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that certainly sounds up your alley. And
yes.
If you liked, we played Hollow Knight last year. Is that a game you would recommend to people who enjoy Hollow Knight?
I would say so, yes. It can be more difficult. A few of the boss fights especially are bastard hard, but also it's got really good accessibility options around difficulty. You can, do not feel guilty about taking the difficulty in this game down a notch if you need to. It's still perfectly, I think, valid to get through the game regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I think it's worth checking out.
Well, thank you so much for the recommendation and report. I lied! There were two other games I played over the, winter break, and I forgot to mention them. I'm sorry. The first one is Thank Goodness You're Here.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
It was okay. No, it was less than okay. I had maybe three good laughs, and then the rest of it was kind of a slappy, sticky grind. It's just kind of a slapstick, cartoonish game. You thrust into this environment. You pretty much just watch as people make good jokes around you about weird.
I've heard this game's kind of mean also.
Mean? There's a lot of cocks in it. I don't know about mean. I guess maybe. I didn't get mean. I was just kind of bored.
Okay. Well, I've only heard that secondhand, so I'm not going to opine on it.
Okay. And the other is a game I can't believe I forgot to mention because I've been doing a full-ass YouTube playthrough on it on my YouTube channel at YouTube. Jerome Barbatsis. That's me. The Crimson Diamond.
Yes. Tell me about this. I've only seen thumbnails, but it looks rad.
You have not been watching my show, you
No,
piece
I haven't
shit.
Been watching
it. What the fuck? This is unbelievable. I've linked them.
Any idea what my January's been like?
You could watch it while you poop. You poop, don't you?
Tell me about the Crimson Diamond.
God damn it. Some bestie you are. Crimson Diamond is a point-and-click adventure game developed and authored by Julia Minamata. It is a very, very old throwback style point-and-click adventure game with a text parser. You take control of a geologist, Nancy Maple, who is sent on assignment to investigate some weird reports of diamonds up where diamonds should not be in a town called Crimson. And whilst you are staying at a lodge, intrigue after things start to happen such that you can no longer leave, and things and a mystery unfolds before your very eyes chapter by chapter as you meet a wacky and boisterous crew of Canadians in the cabin and figure out how they're all interconnected and how everything is sort of playing out when it comes to these diamonds. Of course, people want the diamonds, so what the hell is really going on? Well, that's for you to play and find out. I'm having a blast, really enjoying it. It's the perfect game for me to just sort of sit and be silly with because mm-hmm. of the text parser stuff. I mean, I try to get all the base level jokes out of the way by episode two. But I think I'm really enjoying it because it's just the main character is so fun. I think the text parser itself is really well made. It's very liberal with what you can do with verbs.
Good. Okay. That's always the problem.
And it's
with
helpful
games, right?
When you make them. It tells you when you make a mistake. It's like you get a flow with it. Of course, I'm like putting it down week after week, but I think if you get into it and you get a flow with it, you'll really enjoy it. My one critique is that some of the art, I'm having a hard time with some of the art, looking at what things are supposed to be and what's interactable. But if you, pro tip that I didn't really realize, if anytime you go into room, you just type look at room or whatever, L room.
Oh, it'll
like
tell you
kind of tell
the,
you what mm-hmm. you can do. So that'll save you. But otherwise, yeah, it's a really charming, it's still beautiful and really fun. It's a point and click adventure game, Crimson Diamond.
This thing looks sick. Like just the style of this thing is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, watch my videos. Now people have been watching them. I've been really enjoying. It's been it feels like a slightly, I don't know, it's hard to gauge, but it feels like a slightly separate audience. But yeah, more episodes of that to come on my personal end. But for now, we ought to get to our ad break, and then we are going to discuss the programming for the rest of the month of February, including my prediction pick.
Do I finally get to find out what your prediction is?
Finally get to find out.
Okay.
We're going to read some ads.
Well, Jerome, this week we're sponsored by 1-800-Cheeseburgers.
Fantastic. 1-800-Cheeseburgers. How's that spelled?
1-8 and then Z-E-R-O-Z-E-R-O.
Okay.
And then C-H-E-E-S-S-E-S-B-U-R-G-E-R-S.
So the 1-800 was a bit disingenuous.
Little, it was...
right off the bat. Right off the bat, you're subverting my expectations.
Yes.
Okay.
1-8-Z-Z-E-R-O-Z-E-R-O-C-H.
And which key is Z?
E-S-S. The Z key is located next to your right shift.
Okay. So, oh, I have to type it in.
Yes.
Okay. With my keyboard.
In order to go to the website, 1-800-cheeseburgers.net. Yes.
Okay. 1-8... Now, is that an 800 in the URL?
No. 8-Z-E-R-O-Z-E-R-O.
Okay, great. Great. I'm really glad we got that out of the way now so that our listeners can go and purchase whatever it is. I'm so sorry I interrupted you.
It's okay, because people need to know that they at 1-800-cheeseburgers.net, they can buy mail order mass delivered cheeseburgers in the mail.
Okay. Mail ordered mass delivered cheeseburgers in the mail.
Exactly.
Yes. I wouldn't have them any other way.
Just put in your credit card information, hit the order button, and 3 to 5 days later, a fresh batch of 12 cheeseburgers will show up on your doorstep.
Sounds great.
Doesn't it?
Tell me more. What kinds of people saying about their cheeseburgers?
They cook them up fresh, they load them hot in the box, and then they ship them out to you via FedEx Ground.
Fantastic. Ground beef.
Exactly. Ha ha. Now you're getting the spirit.
I'm getting the spirit all right at 1-800 cheeseburgers.
We got a testimonial here from Marcus. Marcus, can you tell us about your cheeseburger experience?
Yes. Hi, I am Marcus. I am an archaeologist. And on my archaeological digs, I require nourishment as I am often in the hot sun of the Sahara Desert, but only on like the outskirts of it. We don't go that far in. We're kind of on the outskirts of Marrakesh, but that's still the Sahara Desert. And I did happen to get service because I have Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile does a really good job serving Marrakesh.
Cheeseburgers.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Okay. Yes. Cheeseburgers. And as I was getting service from Mint Mobile, because they have really good service of Mint Mobile out of Marrakesh.
No, Mint Mobile's next ad. That's recording after this.
Oh, yes. Correct. I ordered via Mint Mobile the cheeseburgers. They are from the 1-800-800. That's it. Cheeseburgers.
No, Z-E-R-O.
Eight. Oh, okay. I'll take that again. The 1-800-Z-E-R-O-Z-E-R-O cheeseburgers app. I hooked my keyboard into my phone so that I could type that into the Google Store, and then the Google Store allowed me to download the app. And once I opened the app, I was able to peruse their menu of 600 different cheeseburger options, and I was immediately overwhelmed and passed out in the desert. But my assistant, Ralphio, did in fact order a plain cheeseburger for me by the time I had awoken up in Marrakesh at the hospital there, and I was able to enjoy it. It was, in fact, 3 to 5 days later. I was passed out for quite some time. And I basically arrived as soon as I could, as soon as I could blink, really. It was very fast from my perspective.
That sounds great. I'm so glad you were happy with your 1-800 cheeseburger experience.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I would like to leave now.
Anyway, so that's why you should go to 1-800-cheeseburgers.net and order now for their Valentine's special. For a limited time only, you can get 2 dozen cheeseburgers for the price of one.
That's dozen. Right. Oh, sorry. I didn't realize you weren't done because you left a really perfect pause in for me to interrupt.
No, I did need to clarify. It's 2 dozen cheeseburgers for the price of 1 dozen, not a single cheeseburger.
The 2 dozen cheeseburgers for the price of 1 dozen. Wow. I can't think of anyone I would rather share 1 dozen cheeseburgers than the love of my life. This is my girlfriend, Ozma. That's right. We're back together.
Wow.
After 2 years.
She looks great.
She's really slimmed up. She's got that hourglass figure. Except it's a real hourglass.
Yeah, the top and bottom are rotating in opposite directions.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's really put a lot of work in on herself. But we went to some therapy together. It's a good time, and we shared some of these cheeseburgers. Ozma has the really great, because of course these hourglass properties, she has a really great power in which she can speed up time. So again, when we ordered our 1-800 cheeseburgers, they arrived instantly.
Wow, I'm so jealous. I got my box in the mail, and honestly, they were pretty cold by the time that they got there.
This is a 6-minute ad. Do you want to tell our listeners how they can order their own?
1-800-Cheeseburgers.net. We said this like 5 times.
And we're back with a little more light gaming. Boy, we got a fat check for that ad, given that they gave us 6 minutes to just pay in for case, 6 minutes of our airtime.
Just in case you were worried things were going to change too much. No, don't worry.
But yes, now we're going to talk about the rest of February. February. I have to say a million R's when I say February because everyone else omits the R.
Mm, and you know what? That's like, true. They do.
If you cut the R out of February, it doesn't just go away. It's like when you like flick an eye goober off under your carpet. It's not like the eye goober's gone. It's still in your carpet. And then you're going to step on those eye goobers with your bare feet. Those eye goobers are the extra R's in February. And then the carpet is my brain.
I hate this metaphor.
I really also hate it. I have to live it. Imagine how I feel. Anyway, for the rest of the month of February, we have to, we're going to talk not about any theme. What? We're just going to play some fucking games to talk about?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. We're going to occasionally do theme months, like, you know, when it makes sense. Like, June obviously is going to be Pride Month again, but, like, we're also going to do not theme months where we just play games that we wanted to.
Yeah. So, for the rest of February, we are going to play the following games. On 2/12, a little game just came out on the 31st of January called Citizen Sleeper 2.
You bet your ass we are.
Oh, we're going to talk the hell about it. We both loved Citizen Sleeper. I've really loved it. I think you thought some of the writing was too much, but I was like all in. I loved it.
I will say, in hindsight, my criticisms of the writing have totally faded from my memory. Like, okay. Yeah, sure. I'm sure like I felt that way in the moment, but that game has stuck with me. Like the underlying stuff going on in that game is incredible.
I'm so excited. It looks beautiful. It looks like they added so much more art and stuff to it. Very great. For 2/19, we are going to play a Nancy Drew game. The one Nancy Drew game I did play while on streaming over Rake was Alibi and Ashes. That was a treat. man, that would have been a good episode. We could probably still do one, but you recommend Secret of Shadow Ranch or Secret of the Old Clock. Both really good candidates for ASMR August. if we're doing that again.
I put those in. Look, we have played so many bad Nancy Drew games. I think we have to do a good one at some point.
I don't believe a good one exists.
Well, let's do Secret of Shadow Ranch then. Because
let's do Secret of Shadow Ranch. Great.
It's one of the most highly regarded ones, so let's just...
That sounds fun. And now for 2/26, of course, 2 days before my birthday, we are going to be playing a game that you will find out as you take this quiz.
Okay.
We're going to give you 4 clues, and the clues will be more and more obscure, or less and less obscure as the game goes on, as we get closer to the end, and you will, by the end, know what the game is we will be playing. Are you ready for your first hint at this game? These sentences are all taken from the Wikipedia. It would be really funny if you got it after this first one.
Okay.
First hint. Dying causes players to return to their last save point.
I'm going to guess Final Fantasy 13.
Boy, is that even true for that? I don't know. No, it's not. Because we're not doing... I'm staying on...
Okay.
It's a light game, and Final Fantasy 13 is not light.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's another sentence from the gameplay section of the Wikipedia. The world changes, too, based on players' choices in previous time loops.
Is this a weird 4D game about, like, doing mind-bending time stuff? That's my guess.
No. But, oh my god, I forgot about that. That was, God, when was that, 17 years ago or something? That was old. That's like, maybe 15. But okay. Here's the third hint, not from the wiki. I have previously played this game and did not finish it.
Dying goes back to save points. Time loop mechanic. Jerome has played it but not finished it.
Mm-hmm.
See, all I can think of are time loop games that I want us to play, but you've expressed disinterest in, so I'm trying.
You never know. Maybe one of my picks is something I was previously disinterested in.
It's not 999, Nine Hours, Nine Persons, Nine Doors?
It's not 999. This is another hint. This is from the Wikipedia page, but it's the very first sentence on the article of the game. For the Final Fantasy character, see the characters of Final Fantasy VI.
I don't know. Is it called Sid? Is it called
Wedge? It's not
Wedge?
Called Sid.
Terra?
Not called Wedge or Terra. Terra? Oh, that would be good. And now for the final hint. This is just going to be the... Blank is a 2024 Metroidvania video game
developed
by Kepler Interactive. Players control a space traveler who wakes on an alien spaceship that imprisons a demon. Tell me, what's the game? You said you knew. You were like, what is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because I heard
I'm
you talk
the
about
theme
it and
right
it sounded
now.
Cool.
We did an episode where the music, I included the music on our most productive or best soundtracks for productivity.
This is a super moody game.
It is super moody. It is super aesthetic. It's Ultros, baby.
Ultros.
Yeah,
oh,
the name
duh.
Of the squid.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
Oh, we're fucking back.
Okay.
Alex ain't getting any shit quick.
Yeah, no.
There's no end of the hints.
Yeah, five hints, I got nothing. Okay, Ultros.
I noticed, because what had happened to me was, last time I fucked up, and I put too many plants in my save, and then I couldn't get my sword back after
right.
I looped.
You, like,
and then
you,
I like,
you
could go another way
because
the game kept crashing. Well, I noticed they had a beta branch, and they were trying to fix these things, and I was like, okay, well, let's see if my fuck around and find out save file is fixed on this. And turns out it wasn't. But then I was like, well, I have this easy avenue to provide feedback to them. And they got back to me within a day.
Wow, really?
And they were like, yeah, you have way too many plants in your save file. It crashed everything. We'll fix that. And then the next week, it was fixed.
That's so
they
funny.
They fixed my shit.
Oh, wow. Like, so you found a way to break the game that no one else had reported to them before?
Of course I do. That's what I do professionally.
That's so much.
That's my job.
That's
of course
very
I
funny.
Found it. Mm-hmm. That's how I got hired at this. I always do that kind of thing. I'm poison. But yes, my save file is unlocked. But it was a 60-hour save file because I was fucking around and finding out with all those plants.
Uh-huh.
It's not that big of a game.
Yeah, no, I just looked it up. It's like 11 hours. That's fine.
We're going to play Ultros. I'm going to start fresh because I don't remember shit.
I'm going to start fresh because I've not played this game before.
It's I remember it being pretty good. I can't wait to talk about it for my birthday episode because I did end up giving up on it on my birthday last year. So I'm really excited to dive back into Ultros. That wasn't that a fun segment?
That was great. I think quizzes are going to feature heavily this year. Quizzes are always fun.
Quizzes are always, always fun.
That's the Light Gaming promise. Quizzes are always fun.
Mm-hmm. They are going to be always fun. And every episode of Light Gaming is going to be fun. It's going to be lighthearted fun with your pals, Jerome and Alex. Thank you so much for having joined us for our inaugural episode of Light Gaming. Season 2 of our podcast, kind of? How are we going to categorize it? I don't know.
Kind of season 3, but like...
Oh, yeah. Kind of not. We really appreciate you guys sticking around thus far as we've discovered what we liked and didn't like. And we are excited to continue giving you a space to talk about your light games. And speaking of a space to talk about your light gaming, you can join us on our Light Gaming Discord. The link's still the same. We just changed around some of the channel names and
uploaded the different
art.
Logo.
And speaking of art, thank you so much to Alexander Hambrock and Kat Hambrock for this amazing artwork.
Shout out to my younger sibling, Kat Hambrock, also.
That's what
who
I
helped
said.
Significantly with the.
Yeah.
Oh, you call that Kat? You said Alexander.
I said Alexander Hambrock and Kat Hambrock.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And to Kat Hambrock, who are our awesome artist duo that made our wonderful artwork. And congratulations to me, to our sweet little ditty.
Hey, that new music rules.
I really like it. I like our vibe. And I like how we're doing it. Thank you all so much for joining us on this, again, our inaugural episode of Light Gaming. I'm still your host of Light, Jerome Barbatsis, and I have been joined by my co-host of Light, Alexander Hambrock. Say goodnight to the Light Gamers.
Good evening. Still my catchphrase.
I think I'm just going to say maybe Gamers of Light will be what we call them.
Yeah.
Why not? Say goodnight to the Gamers of Light. Oh, that slaps!
Say goodnight to the gamer. Yeah, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
That's sick. Let's do it.
Good
all
evening.
Right. I had dinner before this, but not soon enough. Okay.
What was for dinner tonight?
Caesar salad, but then I ordered some, what were effectively mozzarella sticks.
They were effectively mozzarella sticks?
Like mozzarella sticks, but they were made with, like imagine a mozzarella stick, but instead of the breading on the outside, you have like the Pillsbury croissant.
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. We had stuff like that in high school.
Yeah.